Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Leaf Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshedarel. Hello. And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the importance of our self-esteem. We all have self-esteem. Sometimes it's high, sometimes it's low. How can we find a balanced self-esteem that will bring us to the best possible place in life? Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, we really see that our self-esteem really later on affects our ability to act in life one way or another. Positive self-esteem gives us lots of strength, motivation to start new things, do things in a positive way. I have a feeling that I can and I'm capable. It pushes me forward and so on. And a negative self-esteem quenches you, doesn't give you the strength to move forward, do things. It hurts my career, family life, relationships. Actually, it touches all realms of life. And we'd like to better understand the entire concept of self-esteem here on this show. And I'd like to ask, is it important for a person to have a precise self-image of himself, or is it always better to have a positive self-image? How can he know that it's precise? A person can't know that. No such thing. It's not that I can get on the scale and weigh myself or something, or different medical exams. No. You as a psychologist understand that these are things that we can't measure. It's a problem. Do we want to go there, or do we all the time want to have a positive self-esteem? Not positive either. If I'll be positive all the time, I won't be able to advance. I need for the self-esteem to be in my own hands, and positive or negative, in terms of, suppose I'm going to take a test or something in the university. I'm going to have an exam. So I'm worried, and I have to tell myself I don't know enough yet. And it's not that I'll go with a snotty nose, and I have a week left, and I'm already, I think that's it. I know enough. Meaning, we have to direct ourselves, our self-esteem, our self-image, from positive to negative and from negative to positive. We're talking about changing our self-esteem, and here you're talking about self-change. You're saying change your self-esteem every time, direct it correctly. Toward what? Toward attaining the goal that I set out to achieve. And then I have to see, am I doing whatever I'm doing correctly or not? You probably saw how a cat jumps. It's all the time, like, you know, examining itself more and more, and then jumps. So self-esteem is that I examine myself. Is it enough or not? Is it worthwhile or not? How can I be in relation to this more or less? And then I do it. Meaning, exam. Is the goal correct? Is it worthwhile doing? Do I have all the necessary parameters for it by nature? What else do I need in order to achieve this and this? How I advance? In order to measure all of these things, like you've just explained, a person has to feel that he has the energy to act, and he goes and measures how to do it. When I was listening to you, then there were real measurements, like the example with a cat. I come from a farm, so I'm familiar with cats. They are very precise in regard to themselves. They really measure things. Now, in order for a person to be able to act this way in life, beyond that specific project or next step or whatever, before that, he has to have the strength to act, and only then he examines how to act correctly. The problem is, suppose a person has low self-esteem, he doesn't have the energy to even come close to that thing, to take that step. It's not that he has a dilemma of how to do it correctly.
had to do it precise. These are people with high self-esteem. They break through, conquer new horizons, and then they measure how to do it more precisely. Those with the low self-esteem is like, you know,
having a low battery on your mobile or something. You're like,
So, in this situation where a person is very low, how from this place can he start working with a self-esteem that's suppressing him, that doesn't allow him to move? Such a person, where does he start from? How does he start working with his self-esteem? He doesn't start unless he enters a group or goes through some kind of therapy, but he himself, he can't start. If he doesn't have self-esteem, if he didn't get a certain measure of confidence on a certain level where he can start working with himself, if he's not in an environment that can support him, like it used to be, you know, that an extended family lived together in the caves and this and that, so he's with the others, and then he learns from them, and then he doesn't even feel himself. He doesn't feel that there's some kind of problem at all. He's all the time, like, in a family, like in a bubble, like in his mother's womb. Whereas, in the modern world, after he turns 1 year old, and he's thrown into some kindergarten or something, and then school, and then university, for him it's all artificial. And he also measures himself in relation to different delusional personalities that he sees on TV or in the movies or who knows where. And therefore, I don't know, but you should open some internet channel or on TV or something and start teaching systematically how to come to a correct self-realization, that first of all, you have to have a correct self-image, self-esteem, for you to be able to manage this self-esteem every time, from high to low, depending on what kind of esteem do you need in order to succeed. That if I'm about to take a test, then it depends. If the exam's in a month, then I need low self-esteem. But if the exam's tomorrow, then I need high self-esteem, no matter what. Obviously. Right, to go in and trust myself and to know that I can do it and not to feel anxiety. Yeah, that even that professor that's giving me the exam now will see that I'm confident. Not that I'm insolent or anything, but that I have inner confidence. It's very important. If a person himself can control his self-esteem, he's usually successful. In relation to what you previously said, I felt that, and it's also known from psychology, that the family in which a child grew up is extremely important, the self-esteem that they gave him, and in regard to his ability to work with it. What are the basic lines that you would recommend a parent to work according to so that it won't matter whether it's a smart child or not that smart, energetic or a bit slower, that it doesn't matter who that child is, but that as a parent, and maybe I have several children as a parent, what kind of general guidelines can you give a parent for him to correctly relate to the self-esteem, self-image that he gives his child? You have to teach parents how to do it. First of all, to be afraid about the way in which he explains to a child that he's wrong, that he doesn't understand, that he's incapable, meaning negative things about the child, to be very cautious about
how he explains it to him. It has to be by setting a personal example, not to say that this directly exists in the child, but
as if he's talking about it through some third party.
Explain, please. I don't tell the child, you don't know, you don't understand, you can't, don't do anything, I'll do it instead of you, and things like that. No. I don't show the child that I'm a hero and he's the little guy. Sit down and shut up. No. I have to make a partner out of him. And to teach him this way, in partnership, let's do it together, see how it's done, or look, maybe it's like this, or like that, or the other way around, not to show him that he doesn't understand and doesn't know and can't. Otherwise, you're shattering his confidence, and he'll never be able to rise from that.
He'll, God forbid, be like a cripple his entire life. How do you build in a child a true sense of capability? That on the one hand, you accept all those things that he can't do, but on the other hand, you relate very positively to the things that he can do. Because this is a very thin line in a child's education, upbringing. How do you do it correctly?
You have to teach parents how to do it. I can't say. Also, in a few minutes, it's impossible. The best thing is to do it in a group. That then we show each other, suppose we have many people, or however you call them, we have a group
where we teach parents how to correctly treat their children in order to help them keep their self-confidence. For a child to know how to vary his behavior from as if low self-esteem to high self-esteem. It's not self-esteem, it's actually one's attitude towards problems in life, that I'll see these problems in a way that I'm capable of overcoming them, I can deal with them the way I am, or I can't, I have to learn how to do this, I have to learn more things, but after that I can achieve it. There's a difference between jumping into a fire or knowing what do I have to do in order to come out alive. What will cause a child to have a healthy, balanced self-esteem, self-image? What does he have to receive in order to eventually be balanced? He has to know by what means does he have to prepare himself to achieve the goal. And self-teaching, and the correct environment.
That is supposed to give him what? Support. Support for him to learn from others instead of going by himself through those different states that he can encounter. And then he'll know how to be careful or to actually come closer. So he needs a supportive environment. I'm not saying necessarily supportive. Supportive, that's even better. But I'm saying an environment that he can learn from about his future states. And if he'll join this kind of environment, then he will be able to succeed for sure. I have a question. Previously, you mentioned that you mustn't tell a child, you don't know, you don't understand, you can't. Why, actually? Is it forbidden? Because by this, you lower his confidence. And in advance, he already knows, due to his low self-esteem, that there's no point in turning to anything in life because he won't succeed. So what? You shattered his self-esteem. Why is it carved so deeply at such a young age and it's something that you can't change later on? can't change later on. I'm familiar with man's nature. It's going to be very hard for a person. He'll go, he'll work someplace, he'll succeed in some small things, he'll kind of have a family and everything, but to really go and succeed in life, if his self-esteem was shattered in childhood, he won't be able to do anything. It's a disaster what we sometimes do with our children. You mentioned another thing. You said not to show him that I, the parent, that I'm the hero and that you don't know. I am and you're not. Why is that important? There's no lower self-esteem that you can give a child. If this is how you show him things. So this is why I'm saying he has to feel that you're his partner. What about setting boundaries? Sometimes children do things that can be really harmful to them, to their environment, and I, as the responsible parent, I have to set the limits, the boundaries. I can't let him go wild. How do I correctly set the boundaries without taking him to that place that you previously told us not to go to, where I tell him you can't, you're not? Only through participation. You mentioned that previously too. What exactly do you mean by participation? Like it's customary, actually, in many families, to study with the child, eat with them, play with them, do serious things maybe with them. Maybe watch the right kind of movie together about nature or about some unique scientist to watch his biography, suppose. This leaves a good impression on a child. He learns about his life from these examples, and he won't be able to leave it. It's etched in him. So much so that whether he likes it or not, these examples, these images remain in him. Is it important for him to experience these examples together with me, the parent? Yes, very important. What's the difference if he watches the movie about the scientist by himself or I sit with him? It gives him an example that grown-ups also drink from that. It strengthens the power of... Is there something about us doing it together that also has some added value? Together, of course. He sees that we're participating, that we want it too. That as if without him, we would have watched it anyway. Meaning that now he's on the level of an adult. So it elevates him. Of course. It immediately gives him a high self-esteem. Okay. Now what I want to ask about is... Up until now, we said that we're like a clean slate, and as parents, we learn how to correctly act, what should we do, in order for him to have a balanced worldview. But not all children grew up in perfect families, where their parents knew exactly how to do it. And I see grown-ups, some with high, some with low self-esteem. You once said that you can look at your students and say these were brought up correctly, these weren't, and so on. So a person who did not get the correct attitude, probably from childhood, and became a person with low self-esteem, how, from this place, can he change his life? Of course, there were mistakes made and so on, and maybe he's 20, maybe he's 30, maybe he's 40. He's a finished product. He can't be born to another family again. From where he is, how can he improve his situation in relation to self-esteem? He can improve himself a bit, but only with the help of society. That instead of his parents or teachers, that he didn't have the right guidance in childhood. Now he'll go into society that will be able to improve his attitude toward his low self-esteem, that can support him and accompany him in these several new steps in life as he acquires a profession, as he goes to work, as he really leads himself through life, but he needs company, to be accompanied. This, let's call it a correcting society that has to correct the corruptions that he got from childhood. What is the principle according to which they should act in order to start building, improving a person's self-esteem? To add that which he did not receive in childhood. How? Through constant support, like with examples, like his mom and dad had to give him examples, to take him like as a partner, suppose. The same way now, society has to be beside him. Friends. A friend means someone that he and I are equal, and that's always there to help and support, that at any moment I can seek their help. So, in this case where the self-esteem was already built incorrectly and he has low self-esteem, do you have to give more positive feedback even if it's not balanced? He has to know that next to him there is someone that will support him really completely, as though he's in his mother's womb. That this is how he is in society. But along with it, society demands his participation. Not that it pushes him forward. Go. But it is willing to go with him. What does society's support give? Why will this eventually build him? He can't do it on his own. No person can do this on his own. If he grows up on his own, he'll be like an animal. A person needs an environment. He has to get many discernments from the environment, otherwise he will not be able to be fit for life. So this environment has to help him how? For example, a person with low self-esteem, but with many good abilities. He sees that he's small, limited. What does society have to give him? It has to reflect to him who he is, what? How does it help him build himself? Society has to help him feel confidence, that now it's giving him the confidence and support. The confidence that he's worthy, that he can overcome anything, work or study, have a family, that he'll be able to overcome. They give him the strength that he feels that he's capable, right, that he can deal with different things in life. This is what society gives him. Does it also have to give him tools? Tools. I don't know what you mean by tools. To support as much as possible, like with a child. You have to treat him as a child. Like the parents should treat him, this is how society should treat him. Until he grows and grows and becomes their equal, partner, and fit for life. Okay, I see that everything's built on this attitude, like toward a child. This is the basis. Okay, so from a different perspective, suppose my child is truly good at something. I'm really happy about this, and I also reflect this to him. You're great, you're successful, you're number one. Is there some kind of guidance that you can give us in this regard, not to inflate him too much? I don't think that too much is good either. I talked about this before, that you have to be careful. Okay, not to inflate him too much. So on the one hand, you emphasize not to tell him, you're not, you can't. But suppose he succeeds in something. What's the right attitude? Yes, to encourage, but in a limited fashion. What do you mean? That we expect him to continue growing. What kind of feeling should he get? That the level that he has reached now has to be his average level. That it's good that he achieved what he did, but now, keep going. So, I'm supposed to relate to what? To the effort that he's making, not the achievement, or what? There's something else. That I teach him how to make an effort. And here there's a question of to aspire for achievements, or is the effort itself the achievement? This is a topic in and of itself. Okay, so another question. To always give him the next challenge, so he won't rest on his laurels or something. That's it, I can go to sleep. It's good to find this out together with him. That's it, he and I, and together, we'll find out. What's the next thing we should aspire for? And then, how can I help him? How do I support? What does he have to do? And we'll go together. This together, I see that this is also a key, that it doesn't really matter who he is or what are his challenges. The together. Like dad goes to work and brings money, and mom does this and that, and they try to do everything together. Children also have to know. What are they supposed to bring home? But this builds them. The together is something that builds them. Of course. To bring what? Achievements, success, something. It's a must. High self-esteem, low self-esteem, and the child knows how to direct them. Dr. Lightman, thank you very, very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.